say this. Let's do the blessing of God is upon me. Let's do that confession. Stephen, do you have it? Well, you can just repeat after me. The blessing of God is upon me.
The blessing of God is upon me.
And it, and it empowers me to prosper. Okay, good. Favor of God on my life, and it produces opportunities for that to happen. Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And because the Spirit of God who indwells me guides me, I am always in the right place at the right time, fully equipped and furnished for every good work in Christ Jesus. Well, I'll tell you what. Christmas cards, Christmas lights, Christmas songs, Christmas everything, and Christmas and Christmas and Christmas. Jumbotrons in the cities, joy to the world, Merry Christmas. And then the day after Christmas, it comes. You ever get that? The day after Christmas, like, what's the deal here? You know, it's whoa. But when joy, true joy, entered this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a joy that this world had no idea of. It didn't know what to do with it. It's not the kind of joy that rises and falls and comes and goes based on the circumstances and peaks and valleys of life. It's a joy that empowers you, that abides in you. It's a joy that is in you that empowers you to go through that valley to the and beyond. It empowers you to weather the storms of life and see what's coming on the other side of that, the victory that God has before you. It gives you the joy in your heart that is also the joy set before you for passing the test, for enduring the trial. It's the joy of the Lord that is your strength. The whole world rises and falls with the tides of good times, bad times, whatever, and their joy comes and goes. But we have a different kind of joy, an eternal joy. It's eternal in nature because it is the attribute of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, that he was anointed with the oil of gladness. That word gladness means exceeding joy. What, exceeding what? It doesn't matter. It exceeds everything. He's the greater one that lives in you. Greater than what? It doesn't matter. He's greater. And he's in you. His joy is in you. It's exceeding joy. It's above the kind of joy in this world that has sorrow at the end of it. No, this has no sorrow with it at all. In fact, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and doesn't make sorrow. Has no sorrow with it. Praise God. The Anointed One came into this world and astounded, absolutely astounded this world to such a degree that the very calendar marked that life. Nobody knew who he was before he went into ministry and started doing miracles. I mean, family and so forth. But 3.5 years of ministry, and it put an end to one calendar and put a beginning to the next. And the joy is that that calendar is leading all who believe to the greatest joy. Remember when God said, enter into the joy of your Lord. The joy is just beginning. The joy is just starting. Amen. But you know, with all the glitz and traditions and everything else, the joy, everything from God, unless you're looking for it, seeking, unless you're hungry for it, and unless you're ready for it, it'll just pass you right by. You see, that calendar is something we use every day. That calendar is on every cell phone in the world. The truth is right under our nose. The calendar that marks the life that of the name that has stood through time, through all of this, that you can go back to the cross and say, this is the only thing that really matters. But unless you're ready for it, unless you're waiting for it, unless you're hungry for it, it'll pass you right by. So what we need to do is find out what is real and what isn't real. We need to brush off and brush away some of the tradition that goes with Christmas that men have attached to it. Really, Christmas, the real joy of Christmas, that has been buried under 50 feet of tradition. And on top of that, 100 feet of religion. And we need to get to the bottom, because you know what? If you understand God's point of view, we got to spend time this morning, just a few minutes. We got to spend just a few minutes on the reality manual. You know what the reality manual is? It's the Bible. It's God's side of the story about what happened when Jesus came into this world. I mean, he burst out and just, he's something else. He's just something else. Joy to the world. This is the God kind of joy too. So let's get ready to brush off some tradition and look at this visual and enjoy it. Can you see that? Don't be mad. I said I was sorry. I should have made reservations. Talk to me, Mary. Mary! Mary! I'm fine. This is how Silent Night began. You know, do you look at Joseph and Mary as this perfect, pristine couple that never had an argument, never had an attitude? Look, how do you look at them? Hey, you look at them as this perfect porcelain, pristine paragon of perfection. No other couple in the world is like that. The reality is that Mary and Joseph both had faults. Now, I don't know any couples besides us who are so immaculate. That's a good word here, because the Catholic, Roman Catholic, says that Mary was immaculately conceived just like Jesus, and that's a total fallacy. The Bible doesn't teach that. Religion, tradition does, but that's a fallacy, and it's a perversion of the gospel. And, you know, have you ever read in Luke chapter 1? It says, after Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, she went to Elizabeth, her cousin, and when she entered the house, she greeted her, and Elizabeth said, "Oh, my baby just bounced in my womb. Man, he just kicked with joy." And she was filled with the Holy Spirit, and both of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God." What? My Savior. See, Mary needed a Savior just as much as anybody else. This is why we got to take off of a religious pedestal and put her down in the real world, that we can relate to her. Because you know what? If you can relate to her who had faults, they were wonderful people, Joseph and Mary. They were magnificent people. But they weren't perfect. This is what we've got to understand. They were not perfect. And neither are we. Puts us all in the same boat. And if he blessed Mary and Joseph the way they did, guess what? Get in line, because you're next for the blessing of God in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, you know, you got to get real. You got to get rid of the religious trappings, that's a good word. Immaculate would have been a good word too, because I mean, Mary and Joseph weren't perfect, but yet, I'll bet they made some good choices, some good decisions. And that'll separate them from a lot of people right there. I've made some bad decisions in life. How about you? Amen. That was one amen and three nods and a couple of grunts. Have you made bad decisions?
Yeah.
I have. Get it out in the open, man. If you hide it, God, but if you bring it, walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? And you can be free and rid of that stuff and just unburdened and unloaded. Here we are. Mary and Joseph made some right decisions, and I believe that the influence of God's presence had a big part to do with that. You know, Mary was in the presence of God when Gabriel appeared to her. He said, "Hail." He said, "Hi, Mary. You found favor with God." She's like, "What? Are you kidding me?" She didn't say that. It's not recorded anyhow, but I think everything in her being was saying, because it says she pondered in her mind what kind of a greeting this was. In other words, what are you doing here? What am I doing? The presence of God. And then she said, "Be it unto me, even as you have said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me." And when she said that, she was impregnated. Why? Because it was the word of God that came through Gabriel that was conceived in her. It was God's word made flesh. Amen. Oh, we have a wonderful Jesus. We have a wonderful God. Now, here's what you need to know. Three things I want to give you this morning, and I got to rush because I've got 6 minutes. Maybe seven, maybe 11. Okay. You have inside of you, it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, that we have something called the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. It's not something you have to attain to. It's not something that you have to obtain. It's not something that you have to pray and ask God for joy. No, give me joy. It's not that way. No, you don't. What it is, it's a redemptive fact. It is a new creation reality that the fruit of the Spirit is really the fruit of the recreated human spirit. When you are born again, the Bible says you are a new creation. You are a new creation, man. Get up on your seats and stand there and shout. You're a new creation. God didn't leave an old man inside of you and give you a new man so that you're a schizophrenic. Why would he do that? And just, you have an old man, a new man inside of you arguing and strife. And what would he do that? Kick out that old man. Kick him out. And rise up in the newness of life that God gave you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And you have love on the inside of you. It's been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You have peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." It's not the world's kind of peace that comes and goes with the storms of life. No, if you got his peace, you calm those storms, and you can let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. The joy of the Lord, which is your strength, already is in you. And it's a fruit. Now, fruit needs feeding, it needs fueling, it needs pruning, it needs all kinds, it needs your attention. So if I were you, do you see what the joy of the Lord did in completing? Helping Jesus complete the plan of redemption. He was anointed with the oil of gladness, which is exceeding joy. And in Hebrews 12:2, it says this. It says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Joy had a big part in his success as your Savior, and it has a huge part in the success that you enjoy as one of his own. And even though you have that joy in your heart, there's a greater joy coming. And you need to have that joy on the inside of you, encouraging you and keeping your focus on the joy that's set before you. When you hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come, enter the joy of your Lord." Jesus brought joy with him. And when he brought joy with him, he brought heaven's joy with him. Heaven's joy. Heaven and the joy of heaven itself. The joy of angels that are now your servants. We have a redemption far beyond what religion teaches you. It is a reality in the spirit that you talk to people out in the world that they have no idea what you're talking about. You know, if one people came into this church right now and heard this, and you got a revelation out of this, and go, "Whoa, boy, did you see that?" And they go, "No, I didn't see it. I didn't see nothing." No, you got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again and enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. You must be born again, Jesus said. Well, he said that to Nicodemus. Don't argue about the word, just receive it. And that's when you find out that it's true. Praise God. So number one, you need to understand that the joy of the Lord is already in you. It's not a concept. It's not a new age reality. It is a new creation reality. All right? It's in you already. John 15:11. Jesus said this. These things I have what? Everything is done by the word of God in here. Have spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy be full. This isn't a joy that comes and goes. It remains in you. And as you nurture it, as you fuel it, as you feed it, as you fellowship in that joy, I'll tell you, it has a lot to do. It will get fuller and fuller and fuller and brighter until the noonday sun. And that joy will carry you through anything. Anything. That's big words to say, especially if you encounter various trials. It says count it all joy. The trials will go a lot easier if you just count it all joy, right? So we're here. And in the world, you will have tribulation. You will have trials, tests, and temptations. That's a fallen world. Deal with it. But you don't have to deal with it from the standpoint of weakness. You can deal with it now from the standpoint of victory. Because you're not in these things trying to get victory. You are the victory waiting to go somewhere and happen. Why? The joy of the Lord is in us. Number two is the joy of the Lord is fueled by what? He just told you in that verse. By the word of God. These things have I spoken to you. See, that my joy might... If he didn't tell them that, they would never know that. Like last week, I said, if I put $1 million in your bank account and never bothered to tell you about it, it wouldn't do you any good, would it? You'd still be the same. You'd still act the same. You'd still live the same. You'd still live if you never check your account. But if you look at the account, guess what? You're going to find out, wow, I'm rich. What happened there? And you call the bank. Is that real? Yeah, it's real. But the thing is, he told us about it, and you need to know about it in order for it to benefit you, in order for you to feed that joy, to fuel that joy, and to remind yourself over and over, I have the joy of the Lord living on the inside of me. I have the joy of the Lord living on the inside. Say that. I have the joy of the Lord living inside of me. The joy of the Lord is alive in you. It's alive. It's a real thing. This is an attribute of God. And God came into your spirit in the person of Jesus Christ when you were born again. You received life. And with Jesus came his life, his Zoe life, his nature. Everything is in you. You're a brand new creature. You know, I know that's hard to accept in a lot of religious minds, but look, why would Jesus go through all of this if it was just to be for nothing? No, this is a reality that changed the calendar. It changes you. The joy, it needs to be fueled and fed by the word of God. These things I have spoken unto you. Spoken, the word of God. Study the word. Read the word. Meditate on the word. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find you start hearing a voice. Not the words that these ears hear, but the words that make an impression on you, that you know this is true. Words that are intuitions that show you things to come. It's the same voice you read in Genesis, same voice you read in Psalms, same voice you read in the Gospels. It's the same voice. And that will bring you up and over, and that will fill you with joy. When you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. My sheep, I lead them and they follow me. Say that. I know the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. He leads me. And I follow. How complicated is that? Do you need a seminary degree? A cemetery degree, that's what I call it. Because they know a lot, but they don't live it. That's not a judgment, that's an assessment. It's a reasonable assessment. Look, this is real. And when you become a doer of the word, when you hear the word and you do it, when you hear his voice and you do it, it becomes part of you. It's the infusion of the word of God. It's the engrafted word. And it keeps on growing on the inside of you because the word is living seed, incorruptible seed, and it reproduces after its own kind right in you. So, number one is the joy of the Lord is already there. Number two is you need to fuel and feed that joy in order for it to remain full. He's telling you how to make it full, how to have this joy remain in you and how that joy might be full. Then number three is, look at this. Another thing, way to fuel that joy is through answered prayer. To keep praying and believing God. Talk to him. Prayer isn't like, oh, thou goddess on highest, I adjure you. Get rid of that. Get real and talk to him like I'm talking to you now. Like you talk to your friends. He's your best friend and you can talk to him. Just talk to him and find a scripture that has a promise in it and take that promise before him and say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and I lift this promise up to you and I want you to fulfill it in my life. Do you think he's going to waste any time? Oh, well, God's timing. Here's God's timing. Faith, ask, receive. Answered prayer. Look at this in John 16:24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive. Why? That your joy may be full. Praying fuels that joy. Answered prayer lights it on fire. And it burns everything out of the way of that joy. And anything that restricts that joy is gone. Because God Almighty just answered my prayer. And then you start this relationship with the Father. Just reminded of a scripture. John said this, these things I write to you. Let me see. These things have I written to you. Here it is. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And God took all of these letters that John wrote, these three letters that John wrote, and morphed it into a blood-backed covenant truth that is backed by heaven. If you read his writings, guess what? Your joy will be full. Feed on the word of God. Meditate on the word of God. Pray and ask him to answer. And when he answers your joy will be full. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2? I didn't have that down, did I? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 really starts in verse 1. Looking unto Jesus. Where are you looking nowadays? That's a big subject, huh? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in chapter 1, verse 9, It says this. Did I give you that one, Stephen? Chapter 1, verse 9. Yes. Well, while he's going there, this book of Hebrews is the reason that I make the coffee in the morning. No? Because I'm going there. She said, no. She said, no, you make the coffee because the Bible says so. And I said, where? She said, Hebrews. Wherefore, seeing we have a compass. Okay, there it is. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, you know, there are a lot of people who love righteousness. But you need to really understand that's not complete, because righteousness naturally hates unrighteousness, hates lies, hates untruth, hates everything that's evil. It really does. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. This is the joy that was in Jesus. He was anointed with it. He was dripping with the anointing of gladness, which is exceeding joy. Exaltation, even, where you are carried above and beyond your situation. Why? Because that joy keeps you focused on the joy that is set before you. And now you can release yourself into that and walk in the strength and the power of that joy that is your strength and fulfill your mission in life. Joy plays a big part in the completion of your salvation, or in the fulfillment of your salvation. I would do this. If I were you, I would study every scripture that I could about joy. 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 Because I'm looking at some of you, and I don't see a lot of it there. I look in the mirror sometimes, and I don't see it either. Yeah. Lori had to say that to me. She said, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Because I got the joy of the Lord on the inside. Joy came through Jesus, and with him came the joy of heaven, came the joy of all the angels, and they are your servants. I'm telling you something, we have a salvation that the world does not understand. We have help that we not understand. And if the angels can't help you, lives the Holy Spirit. He is your helper, and he's your comforter, and he's your friend, and he's your guide into all truth. He's a revealer of what will happen. He'll show you things to come. He's your friend. Depend on him. Spend time with him. Pray in tongues a lot, because when you pray in tongues, you get a lot of light and revelation. And if you don't pray in tongues, come on up forward. If you haven't ever received Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Say this, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I am forgiven through the blood of Jesus. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I confess that he is my Lord. From this moment forward, I am saved, and I am on my way to heaven. Amen. So he said, well, I don't feel saved. Doesn't matter how you feel. The Word of God is true, and if you declare him as your Lord and you believe that he rose from the dead, you are saved. Amen.